If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the one beloved. We're obviously running a little late tonight, so that means I get to run a little late tonight too, since there's no other show coming up behind me. So, greetings and love from the Ashtar Galactic Command, and I am Lady Athena of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is how to be divinely grounded. How do you ground yourself? And creating order, balance, and stability in a world of change. So, let's start with a nice meditation. So, take a deep breath. And call yourself forward as a divine continuum from the highest positive realms of spirit down to the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, down to the spiritual lineages of light and sound, and all of the lineages that you embody as a life stream. Entering into the fabric of time, space, energy, and matter, coalescing into a myriad of forms at each level, and dropping down into this drop of love that you call your physical body. And bring the energy down through every fiber of your nervous system. That's how you get in to your body, is through your nervous system, which goes into the DNA, into each cell of your body. It courses through your bloodstream as the life principle. It courses through your nervous system as the atmic energy, the electrical energy of divine spirit. And it anchors in the occipital area, the hypothalamus area, through your kundalini, the sutratma that goes up your spine. Bring that energy down. Down into your legs, your feet. Thrust it down into the earth like you were a tree and your feet were little roots just going everywhere and down deep into the earth. Anchor yourself. Source that divine energy from the very highest frequency bands throughout the earth, throughout the grid field, throughout the matrix that you inhabit as a multi-dimensional being. Get an omnipresent sort of sense of self that's spread throughout the cosmos. Get a sense that you shine from every star. You illumine the very sun itself. Your divine effulgence is the plasma that's erupting from the surface of the sun. You are the solar winds. You are the luminosity within matter itself. You are the light, the very light that has come to illumine matter and transform it back into spirit. You are the means that the universe uses to transmute the density of entrapped light that we call matter back into Ein Sof, limitless light. You are that mechanism to do that. No one else, nothing else in creation has that function but the human, the God-man. So just ask at this time for whatever it is that you need to be the all that you need to be to fulfill your highest divine destiny. And ask that any energy, any energetic, anything that no longer serves your highest good and highest purpose, be lifted now through grace and dissolved into innocent love and light. ask that any entities that you may be carrying that want to go home into the light, that they be divinely escorted by the angels of the Order of Michael, that they be escorted now home. You don't have to carry anything in your energetic field that is not your highest divine purpose and destiny. So just allow anything that you want to release now to go home through grace. And we thank the all that is with the all that we are, that love is and God is, and we are that eternally and forevermore. And allow your light now to just expand till it bursts through the crust of this earth and surcharges and touches to every single atom, every quark of existence, every being, every person, and all their kith and kindred, and all life forms, all the kingdoms of nature. And we just bless it all. We see it all ascended, whole, and free. And to that we say, as a seal, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. Ah, that felt good. So, creating order, balance, and stability in a world of change. Creating a sense of order and stability in our life is really, I think, a really appropriate and effective approach to take, particularly during this era and time of really rapid acceleration of changes. People are contacting me continually saying that they feel so tired and so ragged, and they're sleeping inordinate amounts of time. And the earth empaths are experiencing lots and lots of different energies as the tectonic plates shift and as the different energy currents on the planet affect the sensitives and the intuitives and the empaths, and different aches and pains and things are going on with people, depending upon which aspect of the plan, the divine plan, or the grid field you're actually sourcing through your energy network, your Merkaba. Actually, if you look at yourself clairvoyantly, you'll see that your Merkaba is actually your energetic association and alignment with every place that you have touched to in time and space. It's gridded into those places you've traveled, you've lived, those cultures you've embodied in, not just this lifetime, but in all of your lifetimes. If you look, if you make it your business to look inwardly, you will see, beloved, that there's no place that you are not, that you've not touched to with your divine essence. Because remember, life, the divine spirit within you, you as a spiritual entity and Almighty God are one and the same. The only difference is the function that you're fulfilling in time and space. And the function that we are fulfilling in time and space is as a transduction mechanism to transpose that which is in a higher frequency band into that which resonates at a lower, multidimensional continuum of frequency until it comes to the point of the densest condensation of light and sound, and that's what we call material matter. But in truth, it's only light and divine sound, the living word, in that particular modulation and resonance field. There really is no solid form. You know, any of you who have looked into a microscope know that everything is simply energy resonating at a particular frequency band. So the more we can learn to associate ourselves with being consciousness and energy, I think the closer we will be to that point of frequency modulation in which we no longer feel that we or believe that we are entrapped in a body, in a world that appears to be solid. That's the illusion that we are gradually transcending. So it seems like human beings really like to believe that they're in control. However, that being said, the majority of people, if you talk to them for any length of time, seem to think that everyone and everything but them is in control. However, anyone who's a meditator knows by experience that whenever you get high enough to view your life from the perspective of spiritual awareness, you immediately realize that, truly speaking, we alone have complete control of our life. You know, centered in your divine self, you're in absolute total control. So a spiritual-centric life or Christocentric life is a perfect balance and ordering of that life. So the challenge is to keep reminding yourself to stay centered in that divine component and allowing your energies to source from core essence into your participatory fields, but not getting sucked into them, keeping that viragya, that divine detachment and discernment, that you stay in your center and you extend and radiate from that, but you don't depart that center and get caught up in the quagmire of the karmic fields. So at the level of spirit, we have choreographed, created, allowed, promoted, and chosen every event of our life. We've chosen our parents, our life path, our time of birth, our future mates, our career, our major wake-up scenarios, our tests, our challenges, our major life experiences, and even our time and manner of exiting the stage at the end of this life's role play. We're exactly like actors in electing to play every conceivable type of role upon the stage of material expression. You know, there's really no continent, no race, no creed, no color, no life expression that you haven't been in. It's important to remember that when you read history or look at different civilizational experiments, and they are experiments, different cultural valences, that you've been in all of them. You've done them all. You've been the good guy and the bad guy and the evil predator and the terrorist, and you've been the saint. In fact, it's very interesting when you, those of you that do readings for people, maybe you've noticed, as I have, that a soul, because it doesn't have a value, it doesn't have a judgment running on experiences, it's just designed to have experiences, it can go from a life of great degradation to a life of great exaltation. It can. It's a matter of gaining a balance. And particularly if you've judged something heavily or have participated in persecuting a particular person or thing, you'll invariably take incarnation as the thing that you persecuted or the thing that you terrorized or whatever you did. So that's why we learn to walk in not judging anything or anyone or any expression, because if you judge it, you can be absolutely certain that you will have to experience whatever it is that you've judged at some point. So we learn to become very karmically savvy after a while, and we learn that the only way out is to love and forgive it all, every bit of it, no matter how it appears. You love it, you forgive it, you release it. And when I say love it, I don't mean you have to like it. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to stay with it. but you divinely recognize that one spirit inhabits all of these seeming roles and these seeming bodies. There's only one divine spirit masquerading through every single form, parading behind every name and every appearance. So, having said all that, you might possibly ask, well, if everything is automatically preset to a specific life program, what's the point of my trying to do anything to better my lot in life? And it's here that life gets to be really interesting. Because we live in a quantum mechanical universe within a matrix that can produce infinite varieties of outcome, we can exercise diverse choices consciously made within the context of any given experience and produce a different outcome, completely different. So let's say you encounter a similar theme that you've had in other lifetimes. Each lifetime will give you the opportunity to make a different choice. And the key thought here is conscious choice. So for any given conscious choice we exercise, we can shift the matrix and the quantum mechanical result of that. And it's something that you have to make the choice to activate it. It can't be thought about. You have to actually make the commitment into the action for that to take place. So conscious choice is what's so important. You see, before we awaken to our creative potential as spiritual participants, conscious spiritual participants in our life, we kind of live by a karmic default setting. And our karmic default was set in motion by previous choices made in other lifetimes. So basically, a soul that's still asleep is not exercising conscious choice and merely drifts along as a seeming victim of circumstances and events. And the challenge, of course, is to wake up. But once a soul is awakened, the self, a determining factor, is activated. And this is when the divine part within us takes over. And then it's a whole different ballgame. Then you're no longer under the curse of the law, so to speak, but you begin to live, truly live, through grace. And you become filled with that divine spirit. And you become a conscious son of God, as it said. So there's nothing more powerful than a divinely aware and attuned individual exercising conscious life direction. To such a person, everything is possible. You know, and in that state, miracles are not only natural, they're common daily experiences. I think many of us are experiencing that now. It's like the doctor says there's no hope, you'll never walk again, and that spirit rises up in a person and says, no, I will walk again. And they get up out of the bed, and they self-direct into the healing. And they overcome the negative verdict. I mean, this is happening again and again, all sorts of situations. So it ain't necessarily so when some of the authorities that used to be the final word in our life, we say, by the Lord God of my being, I choose a different outcome here. That's not acceptable that I have this particular outcome. And we have that power. So in terms of grounding ourselves, spiritually we ground ourselves. Now get this, this is interesting. We ground ourselves spiritually by loving, by serving, and by participating fully in those lives that we encounter. I want you to notice that when you're not actively activating your spiritual flow through your loving and serving and participating, watch that you be attentive that you're not really present. Your body elemental, your basic self, may be present. And that's the part that gets really scared and anxious and worries. And, you know, it's like a little kid that's been left alone. But you, I'm talking about you, the divine indweller, the divine soul, you don't show up unless you're exercising your divine loving, unless you're extending yourself in service, unless you're participating in life. Then you're grounded. And it's interesting, too, that if you have a lot of spiritual energy and you're not doing those things, you're going to be depressed. And the depression is telling you that you are depressing. You're holding down and holding back the energies of spirit that are designed to keep flowing up and like a fountain. They're supposed to rise up through the core of your heart essence and bubble forth like an ever-replenishing source of energy. People that are really, really attuned to the divine spirit, they don't seem to get tired. They go on and on and on, and as long as that divine spiritual anointing is flowing through them, they don't get tired. They don't get depleted. They're going to need to rest at some point, because at some point the anointing will back off, because our physical vehicles aren't used to carrying that level of energy for hour after hour after hour. In fact, I burned myself out doing that when I first walked into this body, because I didn't realize the limitations of the human form. And I would go for 16, 20 hours, not even think about it. And never felt tired. I always felt tremendously. In fact, after I finished working all those hours, I would pace the floor because I was had too much energy to lie down to rest. So we learn to pace ourselves. You know, we come in with very, very highly vibrating energy fields. Most of us that come from other planetary systems and worlds, we resonate at a very high level. And then we come down into the energy matrix that we call the physical envelope of energy. And we have to cool our jets, and we have to come into more of a balanced expression, because you can't be on high rev all the time, or you're going to wear out your motor. And some of us learned that the hard way, so it's taken us a while to, to rebuild our delicate energy systems that we've kind of fried in the process. So, again, you ground yourself spiritually by loving, by serving, and by participating with people, getting involved in life. So if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling any kind of energy moods, or even sometimes ill health, it's because you're not sourcing that energy that's really trying to flow through you in every way possible to get out through you into the world. And the world, again, is simply a manifestation of the one life and the one energy and all the relationships that we call the Merkaba, or the lines of association and relationship we have in time and space with different wavelengths. So I was looking today at drill rehearsals, and I thought, boy, you know, we have all kinds of drills, you know, to prepare us in case there's a tsunami, so we know the evacuation routes, or in case of flooding, or in case of earthquakes. Here in California, we have earthquake drills, and we've all grown up with fire drills and things of that nature. But you know what? What we really need, most recently we're having even drills in case of terrorist attacks. But what we really need is a drill for leaving this planet in the best way possible. Because every one of us is going to leave this physical dimension in one way or another. Whatever gets born here has to leave this field in some manner. And unless we just want to step through a dimensional field and end up in the astral plane, which isn't very far, most of us are going to have to go through that experience that we call death. which is really to be born into another level of life. But it looks like you die in some way. And the last thought, in fact, the sum quintessential essence of your life is what carries you into the equivalency on the other side of the physical plane, which is the spiritual dimensions of life. So your last thought, your last words, all of that forms the matrix that you step into when you cross out of the body. And it's something that many of the yogic sages continually remind us that we need to make a habit of repeating the name of God and being always attuned to the Lord, because at that last moment, we've got to say the name of the Lord to go to the Lord, according to them. The funny story that they tell about the shopkeeper. And he had several sons, and he called each of his sons by a divine name of the Lord, just in case, one of them would be with him or something when he passed away. So he had Narayana, Krishna, Vishnu, Shivaji, and Ram. And everything went along fine until finally the father got sick and he was on his deathbed. And so they all came, all of his sons came, Ram and Vishnu and Shivaji and Narayana and all of them came. And the father, in his last breath, he said, "Ah, you're all here. Who's minding the store?" So his whole life had been involved with a store. So he couldn't trick God, you know. His consciousness was in merchant mentality. So he leaves his body and goes over into probably an astral version of his life on Earth, complete with his store. So these things are very important. I thought it was very interesting. A very well-known man that we all know and love, but I won't mention his name right now, said that he'd spent his life in yogic practice with mantra, japa, and all the things that you do to practice the yogic path. And he had a severe stroke which totally incapacitated him. And he said what shocked him was that the moment that he fell to the floor with a stroke, he didn't think of God at all. And he was flabbergasted. How could he have spent 40-some years of his life meditating on God, and at that moment of his greatest need, he didn't think to even call upon God? His mantra didn't come into his mind. Nothing of that nature came into his mind. So that's why it's so important to train ourselves to focus on where we're going in cosmos, on what we live with, on what breathes us, what beats our heart, what are we centered in, what is the core essence of our life, because we never know when that last moment on this earth is going to occur. It's often been equated to being prepared to have that last photograph taken. You know, always make sure you're going to look great for that last snap of that last photograph. And that's, of course, the moment we cross over into the next life. So these drills actually serve a very important purpose, because they're really designed to prepare, condition, and train our physical elemental, our body elemental, you could call it the body elf, or the basic self. It's like a little child, and its prime directive from Almighty God is to keep you alive long enough to fulfill your soul's purpose for that given incarnation. So it's all about what do I eat, and where do I sleep, and when am I going to get my next meal, and what do I have to do to survive. It's survival mentality. But it's also no older than about a 3 to 6 year old child, so it's childish. and selfish and greedy and very elemental. That's why it's called the basic self. And it's not you. It's like a little Davic form that keeps your physical, well, it forms your body with the building devas when it's being built into the womb as a fetus. It actually constructs your body. And then it keeps the life in the body. It perpetrates the beating of the heart and all of that. The automatic functions of the body are governed by the basic self. And it resides basically, not to pun, but it basically resides in your solar plexus center. So when you get butterflies in your tummy, or you feel nauseated, or you feel like someone's kicked you in the stomach when you go through something emotionally, that's the reaction of the basic self. And it has to be directed like a little child. It needs strong direction and training in appropriate response. And, you know, the basic etiquette, you know, how to be having the social graces is a training for the basic self. Otherwise, it would be quite a rude little thing, doing many things that are socially unacceptable. So it's guided and trained and directed by these drills that we have, and so that's important. And like a child, it requires constant supervision, disciplining, and loving boundaries to be established for its behavior. And every person has at least one basic self, and some people have two. And generally, they're the gender of the body, but not necessarily. You could be a woman with a male basic. Doesn't mean that you're always going to be a lesbian, but you could be. It could tend you in that direction. Sometimes men will have a female basic, or sometimes even two female basics. In that case, very often, they might go into a gay lifestyle. So again, you can't judge people. We have no business judging what people do or how they express, because there's a reason for the way they express. Very often a person of either gender will have a male and a female basic self. And so you'll have those two little personas that begin to act out in different times. Sometimes they don't get along real well. So you feel like you have a little war going on inside yourself. Sometimes the conscious self will want to do something and one of the basics will block the action. So it's very interesting and important to work with the basic self to understand it. The concept of the basic self, the conscious self, and the high self is part of what's called the HUNA, Hawaiian training. My teacher, John Roger, has written a book on the basic self and the three selves, and there's a lot of teaching in the movement of spiritual inner awareness that he's founded about cooperating and working with the three selves and particularly the basic self. So if you want information on that, you can go to msia.org and find a lot of information on it. But I found something very interesting. You know, when you have an irrational fear of something, and even though consciously you're not afraid of it, consciously you have all the psychological answers, and yet that fear rises up in you. I had it happen to me when I was hiking in Sedona one time. I was asked to scale a perpendicular rock and to get up to the mesa on top. And this irrational fear came into me that I was frozen with fright. Obviously, I'd been thrown off a high mountain or a boulder at some point in a past life, and that basic self just froze. And I had to have somebody kind of grab me by the hands and pull me over the edge. I couldn't move. I was just stunned with fear. So it's that part that sometimes kicks into gear when you have these emergency situations that the drill is designed to prepare you for. But when they actually happen, sometimes you go into that freeze mode or freak out mode or stark terror mode, and it's because of experiences in the past that you've had that the basic self, which when you get through using it, it's going to go to somebody else. You're not your basic, and you don't keep the same basic from life to life. So you may have gotten somebody's basic self that, you know, was traumatized in Atlantis or whatever, you don't know. But it's appropriate for you in this lifetime. It's part of your team that you've gathered around you to complete this incarnation. Consequently, the high self is also an archetype of the persona on a highest level that you embody for that life. You know, sometimes people like to call themselves goddesses or Lancelot or Queen Guinevere or the Lady of the Lake or whatever, Morgana, whatever, or Merlin. And these are all archetypes that the high self can personify that kind of gives the valence or the gel coating, the gel color for that particular expression, for your higher expression in that incarnation. Again, you are not your high self either. That is a stand-in that holds your divine matrix, your divine blueprint for that incarnation. And your high self could be an ascended master. It could be any number of beings. Can also be those beings that people think they channel. They can also be the high self. So in highest truth, you are none of those things. And your conscious self is usually your conditioned indoctrination that causes you to make conscious choices along a given line in any lifetime. So your conscious self is more who you are, but that's not who you are either. Who you truly are is the divine Atma, the spirit self, that utilizes a high self valence, that will have a basic self or more than one basic self, and who functions through a conditioned consciousness that we would call the conscious self. But once you understand the levels of your being and how you get down here, so to speak, and how you function, it helps you to know how to direct yourself and ground yourself and be proactive in your life and co-participatory with these levels. So it's training your basic self that, I don't know if any of you have watched The Dog Whisperer. I really like that program. But The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan, is constantly teaching people how to be the pack leader of their dog and of their home. And I find that that training that you give as being learning to be a proactive, calm, assertive pack leader that steps out in confidence and takes owns the space and takes direction of the space and makes the animal or whatever follow him or her rather than them being the pack leader. You have to be the pack leader. I find that same principle really works with our basic self. It works with our children. We have to take calm, assertive leadership in our life if we're going to give good direction and guidance and really ground and direct ourselves at this time during the earth changes. I find that 99.9% of the time when people are afraid, it's because they have not become an assertive and calm and confident pack leader for their basic self. And their basic self is like a little kid left on its own devices without any parent at home to get a clear direction. So pay attention to your levels and see if any of this information applies to you, because I think it's very, very important in the times that we're facing right now. The basic self also is extremely serious about completing the directives that you have consciously established for yourself. I really think it's not wise to make New Year's resolutions or lay down plans and goals where you say we have to do this by, you know, the next 5 years or the next 10 years. And I know that's strategizing and you know how you're trained in all of these human potential movements like 20, 30, 40 years ago, but not today. None of us have any assurance we're going to be here the next 5 months, let alone the next 5 years. So it's important to be present here and now, live today, and complete today. So when you go to bed at night, don't have things hanging over you that you feel like you have to get up in the morning and attend to. At least put the day to rest at the end of the day. Say, this is as far as we go today. If I don't wake up tomorrow, it's fine. Everything is completed. And then when you wake up, you can take each thing that you need to do and do it now. But when you put it down, let it be complete. So you don't have a feeling, oh, well, I should have. Well, I'll take care of that later. Don't leave any round to-its out there. Complete your process. The basic self will keep putting energy to that process. So if you have a stack of letters that you're going to get around to answering one day, or stacks of emails, as I have, hundreds of emails, and sometimes I think, I just don't want to wade through them. Well, tomorrow I'll do it. You know, I got to remind myself, there is no tomorrow. Now, complete. When I go to bed, I die to this day, and tomorrow I incarnate as a new being, and then we'll see what we do in that day, in that time slot. So the basic self listens to every single word you utter and has absolutely no sense of humor, but will attempt to fulfill whatever you say. It takes you so literally because it has no interpretive capacity. So, for example, if you joke about being fat, or your thunder thighs, or you're having a senior moment, or worse, you know, sometimes people say, well, it's brain dead. I can't imagine a worse word curse to put over your mind than speaking that. I mean, what an awful thing to say. And the basic self will take that because, again, it doesn't interpret. It doesn't decide, well, no, we won't implement that because it's not good. No, it just takes everything as gospel. Everything is the word of God. And it will begin to create that for you. So you have more thunder thighs, you have more fat, and more senior moments if that is what you keep joking about and confessing. Or people that are constantly focused on their poverty or what they don't have. The basic self will then make sure that you stay poor because it thinks that's what you want. So bear in mind that you have just a little body genie that immediately puts into practice whatever you talk about, whatever you focus on. It begins immediately to try to fulfill that for you, thinking that's its job, to serve you and to do whatever you want to have done. So that's an element of the secret that they didn't bring to our focus, but should have, because the basic self sometimes goes after things that are so impractical, there's no way it could possibly fulfill all those things in any given lifetime. And yet it'll be putting energy and energy and energy out into that until you say, no, it's done. You don't have to do it anymore. We're not going to go on a diet. We're going to, instead, we're going to pay attention to what our body is telling us, and we're going to eat things that are appropriate at the moment, but we're not going to lay down any rigid laws that we have to fulfill. And I think you'll find a lot more cooperation coming up from your basic self if you begin to be attentive to what you are directing into. So only discipline yourself to learn to speak only what you truly want to happen and have in your life. That's really important. And bear in mind that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So we really have to be attentive if we want to walk free in this world. Now, the basic self gets its direction from what you consciously speak and decide and set in motion in your life, but it takes its energy to accomplish whatever it is from the high self. So the energy flow goes from the basic self to the high self, and then if you're not connected to your high self, or if you're not communicating well with your basic self, there it gets log-jammed and nothing happens. And there you have people that have great ideas and great ideals, but they're not really doing anything with their life. So that's why it's so important to be integrated and centered and aligned and have all of your levels clear and functioning appropriately. And people that don't have energy, also, that's where the high self and the basic self, there's some block in there between the conscious self and the high self and the basic self. And so you're not getting a continuity of agreement and flow through all of your levels. So we're in a time when, if we're to believe the prophetic voices, the many, many prophetic voices that are speaking right now, apparently we are in for some rather dramatic outpicturings on the physical plane. We are already seeing that many, many people are leaving their bodies right now, and in very dramatic ways, and there's great exoduses of people in different locations now on the planet. Apparently, there's going to be more of that, and it's two of the dates that they mention are 2009, 2010, 2013. In fact, Barishka, the boy from Mars that some of you have heard about, said that we would have some catastrophic things occur in both those years of 2009 and 2013. According to all accounts, there will be a certain clearing out of souls that will be leaving a smaller remnant upon the Earth. Now, Sai Baba has stated, and I've shared this before, that only souls firmly rooted in love and devotion to the Lord will inherit the Golden Age. That love itself is the boarding pass required by everyone to progress into the age of love and peace. And I've often equated it to the fact that if you're a saltwater fish, you're not going to survive in sweet water, you know, in a lake. And likewise, people that are used to living at a low frequency band, they're not going to be able to stand to live in the love and peace of higher consciousness. That would be like hell for them. So one way or the other, they're going to have to exit the earth as the vibrations keep getting higher and higher and higher. They create strokes, they create heart attacks, they create all sorts of physical blockages which take them out. And remind yourself that, you know, it's going to be pretty dramatic in some cases. And we just have to really, really know that everything is progressing the way souls have chosen, they've elected, they've prayed for, they've planned for, and it's always perfect, and to allow each soul the dignity to do what it needs to do to bring completion at this time. The in terms of light workers, some will be completing with their missions. Some of us have contracted to be until 2011, 2012, and then we're free. Some others are coming in to take the next stage of the mission. So there'll be all sorts of choices being made. Some will choose to work to go on, you know, to progress on to other cosmic endeavors. They're finished here. Others will choose to work from the other dimensions. Some will be leaving the physical dimension due to the vibrations being incompatible with the new Earth's higher frequency. Some will be leaving because of old age or poor health, being unable to cope physically with the changes or unwilling to cope. Some will go because another level is more appropriate for their soul's development. There probably are as many reasons as there are souls, or at least individualized souls, and they're always divinely perfect. So again, trust. Absolutely need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, and really trust that there is a higher order and a higher process that is flowing through our lives and every area of our lives. So I have a few suggestions. It's probably going to sound like advice from Mom. And it actually is, because I am Mom. I'm Mama Athena. And here's some really practical advice, but I have found that it really, really works. And number one is complete everything you possibly can and get your life in order. Don't leave anything hanging out there. Either say, I'm never going to deal with it, or I'm not going to deal with it now, and probably I'll never deal with it. Or if you can complete it, complete it. If you absolutely have to do it quickly. Two, the major area of your preparation is spiritual and psychological. When you maintain your spiritual center, everything else will be handled through grace. So live every day, number three, as if it was your last day on earth. How would you leave if you knew this was your last day on earth? Think about it, seriously, because that day will come to every one of us. And now is the time to have that life drill Again, nothing really dies. You know, I've done a bazillion shows on that theme, that in highest truth, we've never left the heart of God, that our appearances in time, space, energy, and matter is an illusion. It's a misidentification of self with a hologram, a projected light sound beam or hologram. And in highest truth, we've projected it all from mission control. We're home. We're with God. Everything is fine. We're safe. We can't be lost. We can't be destroyed. We can't die. We can't be damaged. We can't be affected by any passage through time and space. But, you know, you can sit in a spooky movie, and part of you knows you're just looking at light beams on a screen, but you still duck and close your eyes when certain scenes appear. So, likewise, we still kind of react to the scenarios around us, and you know, it's kind of, in a certain sense, expected that there's a certain identification with the theater of life, because it's so vivid that the scenario sometimes just grasps you. You buy into the scenario in the holodeck and begin to think it's really real. So we have to have some way to remind ourselves continuously that this is not real, this is an illusion, this is a dream, I'm home in God, I'm safe, nobody's dying, nobody's getting killed, nobody's being destroyed, everything is well. You kind of have to psych yourself up and talk yourself through these things, particularly when they start to get really, really vivid in your own personal life, as they may. These visionaries and prophets say that everyone on the planet will be affected in some way, so I don't think we're going to be exempt from that. Number four, it pays to keep prayed up, as the saying goes. Keep prayed up. You know, if you don't feel clear with God, pray. Talk to Him, you know. Talk to Him. You don't have to say fancy prayers. Just talk to Him. Get real. Talk to Him. So keep prayed up. Keep your communication lines with your divine source really clear and really current, so that you are prepared to step into eternity and meet your Maker at any moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? Journal about your life. Begin to journal about this. Notice the things you projected into the future as one day I want to. Those one day I want to's are going to boomerang you right back into another incarnation if you don't end cycle on them, if you don't stay present and live today, here and now. It's like assuring that you're going to be back again. And this is graduation time for many, 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 many of us. This is it. This is the grand finale, the home run. So use this opportunity to step free through grace and don't create yourself another incarnation. Probably one of the most exercises of the greatest stupidity is to plan for your next life. I think that some people are doing your next life readings and planning for your next life. That, you know, you really got to examine anybody that does that, because no matter how you want to paint it, this is like a reform school down here. It is a school of hard knocks, a school of difficult endeavor. It's not funny, and it's not fun. It is a difficult course to be in an Earth school. So the sooner you can graduate and move beyond it, the better. And those of you who've come down here to serve people, you know, to help with the ascension of the Earth, don't you get bogged down in those ruts that people are stuck in down here. Don't get involved in the worry about the finances and what's happening in the, you know, economy and all that stuff. And, you know, that's not for you to be involved with. Number five, practice living in the now, right here, right now. Number six, no matter what, forgive it, love it, release it, whatever it is, it's for you, and just love it and bless it. Seven, take care of yourself so that you can help take care of others as long as you are here. Physically, eat right. Make wise choices in what you put into your body, fuel-wise. Breathe deeply. Breath is God. Breathe. Walk, move, exercise, keep active. Don't let your body go into rust and degeneration. Listen to your body. It'll tell you what it wants to eat. It'll tell you, and it doesn't have addictive patterns. you condition it to expect, by not disciplining your basic self, you can open yourself up to addictive patterns. But those are bad habits that the basic self then gets attached to. So do all you can to step free of all the addictions so that you can truly command your life and not be, you know, pulled by needs for cigarettes or liquor, whatever your addiction is. Promote a healthy lifestyle and body. Emotionally, keep yourself clear. Keep in balance. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Keep your forgiveness ongoing. Every event, keep it clear. Don't let the sun set on any grievance. And get involved in some form of ongoing service. That's the key to being happy and grounded. Get involved. Mentally, pray daily and practice some form of loving and positive spiritual practice. Number 7, for financial abundance, learn about tithing. Give 10% of your gross income to something that benefits a divine purpose. You know, take care of the widows and the orphans and the poor and the homeless. Donate to charitable programs. These are very important. And that's the key to making sure your own needs will be met. Keep an inspiring book at hand to read on a daily basis. Keep your mind focused in uplifting and higher vibrational things. Keep your environment clean and neat and in order. Make your bed. Keep your dishes washed. These sound like silly little things, but it's amazing how much they drain energy when you get slovenly and sloppy and lack impeccability in any level of your life. It kind of has a way of muddying all of your energies. And little adjustments of your personal habits can make a huge difference in how you feel. So keep yourself clean and neat. Plant columns of light daily in your home. Create cleansing fountains of light to keep refreshing and regenerating the light field in your home. Violet flame and cleanse your home and your aura daily. Listen to beautiful, uplifting music. Watch inspiring DVDs. Burn sage, copal, incense, scented candles. Create a lovely, sacred ambience in your home. And above all, become a calm, assertive, confident pack leader to your pets, your children, your basic self, your spouses. And if you trust God and live by faith, they will follow your lead. And really discipline yourself to lend zero energy to negative moods, thoughts, and words. Keep your focus positive and loving. No matter what, keep reminding yourself that only the divine is real. Everything else is a temporary, illusory appearance that will disappear and vanish like a fog before the rising sun. Practice cultivating happiness as a habit. I like Sai Baba's definition of happiness being union with God. So unify, integrate your divinity, and you'll find that it produces that sense of happiness that just sustains and stays constant. It isn't dependent on what happens or doesn't happen. It just is a substratum of your life. So this will be your most valuable survival and coping mechanism, will be that sense of inner centeredness and happiness, that groundedness in the divine. So bear in mind again, beloved, you came for these times. You were trained and prepared before you even incarnated for everything that you will ever experience. And certain modus operandi will activate as you enter into the scenario that you're called to deal with. It will activate and you will know what to do. You'll never be given anything you can't handle. And know, beloved, you are loved. You are divine. You are living an eternal life right now. And this is your greatest opportunity to awaken and activate your inner hero. You are the promised one. You're the beloved, and all is well. And no matter how it looks, Jesus assures us in the Course in Miracles, a happy outcome to all things is assured. So Remember, in highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. And let's go out with a little Sanskrit bhajan. It's Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, J.J. Ramo. And that simply is, Ram is the divine Atma within us. And Jaya means victory to the divine principle which indwells us. Ready? Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, J.J. Ramo. Shri Ram, Jaya Ram, J.J. Ramo. My voice is not cooperating too well with that, so I'll just close with Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Deep breath. Signature of peace. So God bless you, and God willing, I will be on the air next week. Adonai.